When you head off on vacation this summer, whether it's for a weekend camping trip or a week at the beach, chances are you will be in an automobile and you will be sharing the road with some 18-wheelers. But have you stopped to think about the health and related safety issues of the people who drive the big rigs? This segment reports on the increasing role of nurse practitioners in keeping truckers healthy and our roads safe. Charting Nurses' Future, a project of the Future of Nursing Campaign for Action, has been exploring this topic. Reporter Jennifer L.W. Fink explores this topic based on her recent research on NPs and truck drivers.
I'm a registered nurse turned health writer, but before I started working on this series, I didn't give any thought to the health and well-being of truck drivers or to the ways truckers' health affects my safety. That's pretty typical, isn't it?
I would say yes, Jennifer. I think that people probably notice the very large vehicles that the truckers drive, but they really don't give a whole lot of thought to the people who are actually operating those vehicles or what type of health issues they may be experiencing.
That is Karen Heaton. Karen is Associate Professor of Nursing at the University of Alabama. She is also a certified Department of Transportation medical examiner and a nurse researcher who frequently studies driver health and safety. She's also married to a truck driver. Karen, tell me a little bit about your research and how you got involved in exploring driver health, well-being, and its effects on safety.
I was very interested from my background as an emergency department nurse in things that contribute to motor vehicle crash risk. It became evident that the sleep of truck drivers was erratic and unpredictable. And when I went to a presentation as a student from another researcher who said that sleep deprivation had the same effects on driving ability as alcohol intoxication, that really piqued my interest, and I began to read more and more about it, and I realized that this was an area that I needed to be involved in as a nurse. And so I'm very interested in my research in how sleep deprivation or obstructive sleep apnea, which involves chronic sleep fragmentation, affects the brain's ability to process information in such a way that drivers are able to safely operate vehicles. I became specifically interested in truck drivers. You mentioned that I'm married to a truck driver. I really had never met a truck driver and didn't know anything about them either until I realized after beginning to date my now husband, some of the difficulties that truckers have getting access to healthcare when they're working, some of the difficulties they have doing something that's as simple for you and me as refilling medications, finding a healthcare provider, actually going to an appointment if you can get an appointment when they're out there working, not to mention if they're in a foreign to them city and they become acutely ill or injured, you know, what to do.
When I was working on this series of articles, I talked to one of your colleagues, Mona Chattel, who is a nurse researcher at Rush University. She said something to me that just really resonated. She said, "We're really talking about a population," referring to truck drivers, "that pretty much exists outside of the existing healthcare system." Can you elaborate on that a little bit? You mentioned that there are some complications due to the job, but just go into a little bit more detail and how this affects the driver's health and could affect everybody's safety on the road.
I think Mona is absolutely right. These workers are people who, again, have such unpredictable and erratic schedules that it makes it very difficult for them to participate in traditional healthcare the way that you and I might. So, for instance, hopefully most of us who have more regularly scheduled jobs participate in preventive medicine kind of things so that we get our vaccines and we get our mammograms and our colonoscopies and those sorts of things that are recommended for us at different times in our lives. We're able to schedule those and get them done. It's very difficult for truck drivers sometimes to know for sure when they're going to be back home and near their primary care providers or others. And not only that, sometimes it's so difficult and their hours are so irregular that we know that about half of the truck drivers in the U.S. do not have health insurance. And the other half, many of them have expressed to Mona and I in our research that they're so busy, they have health insurance, but they don't have time to use it. Even though they have that benefit, it's very difficult for them to access health care when they're driving. There are some things that have come about, you all featured this, where some of the truck stop-based health clinics that are specifically targeting truck drivers are available. But, you know, certainly the capacity that's needed to meet the needs of 1.5 million truck drivers is probably not sufficient to actually address their health care needs on a day-to-day basis.
When we're talking about this population that is really existing outside the pre-existing healthcare system, we kind of have to think about out-of-the-box solutions. The standard go to the clinic and get care between the hours of 9 and 5 doesn't work that well. You and Mona have done some interesting research talking to truck drivers and assessing some of their needs. Can you share some of what you've learned with us?
One of the things that we learned is one of the things that I said earlier is that many drivers who we surveyed, although they have health insurance, are not able to use it because of time limitations. That is one thing. Many of them are also very well connected. They have smartphones. They often have computers in their trucks with them. I believe, and I think Mona probably shares this belief with me, and we hope to explore this when we finish up the work that we're doing right now. We believe that there's a role for smart technology, telehealth, using devices much like there's a blood pressure cuff that can be attached to an iPhone, which can transmit the blood pressure to a designated person. So you could monitor a truck driver's blood pressure. A primary care provider could do that. I think there are also some interesting possibilities using kiosks that could be placed in truck stops or other areas that are frequented by truck drivers so that they could sit and have their blood pressure checked. They could have their blood sugar, their weight done. And there are even very advanced kiosks where you can have a virtual interview, a provider visit, just like you and I can do right now on the computer where we're mm-hmm. having a chat. So I think given the technology that we now have, I think that there are ways that we can overcome this difficulty in drivers being physically present with providers. There may be ways that we can use some of these technologies to be able to still reach out and provide some services where we are screening. And then if we have concerns, then we would, of course, urge the driver to, we would also use that smart technology to help the driver find an urgent care center or a healthcare provider in the area that they happen to be in who could immediately assist them if we found something that was of serious concern.
Fascinating. You and Mona are currently doing a study, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, a study of mental health services utilization, sleep, stress, and mindfulness in truckers. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We're actually done with the data collection, and we have some students helping us analyze it, and we'll be writing it up. But what we're finding is that for the drivers who are more mindful, in other words, they're more self-aware, they tend to sleep better and have less utilization of mental health services. In other words, they tend to not need to seek out mental health services as often as those who are not as mindful, who have subsequent sleep issues and so forth. So that was sort of an interesting finding. We have other details, but the other thing that we found out was in this particular study, which is a little bit different than other studies of truck drivers, we had more women than normally participate in studies of truck drivers. As you know, only 5% of U.S. truck drivers are female. And so we had a fairly good representation of women in our study. What we found was that there were some things that made us wonder if these women had other things going on because they had some chronic stress issues. And so we had some indication that it's possible that some of those women had post-traumatic stress. And of course, people can experience post-traumatic stress, higher scores on these measures for many reasons, but it made us wonder if some of these women had had common reasons for post-traumatic stress in women, such as intimate partner violence, domestic violence, or other types of issues. Now, we don't have enough information to draw that conclusion, but it's interesting to think about, and it certainly lets us know that in the future studies that we do, we really need to determine whether or not female truckers have had some type of exposure to something that legitimately could cause a higher post-traumatic stress scores compared to male truck drivers. Our study is a little too small to draw any conclusions right now on that. But because women make up such a small percentage of truckers, it certainly would be very interesting to target women specifically and find out. Because some of my colleagues, when I was a student at University of Kentucky, did some pilot study work that was quite interesting among women truckers who identified themselves as afraid to go into truck stops at night because of the risk of being assaulted and that sort of thing.
Interesting. So yeah. It really points to the need to do some more research and Absolutely. Perhaps ultimately design different interventions to meet different populations, even within this population of truckers.
Yes, and actually it's sort of ironic. When we set out to do the study, when we were designing it, we put in the measure of post-traumatic stress because we were aware that the federal government had an initiative called Hire a Hero, where they were encouraging military veterans to become truck drivers after they separated from military service. And so Mona and I wondered if perhaps there were military veterans who were truck drivers, if they were more at risk for post-traumatic stress because of their military service. In this group that we studied, again, we only had a very small number, only a handful of military veterans, and it wasn't really them that had the higher PTSD scores, it was the women. So that really was very interesting in this study, but again, it's a very preliminary small study that what it indicates is we need to do much larger study and try to balance our males and female numbers of participants so we can compare them.
As I've worked on this series, one of the things that was most interesting to me is the role that nurses play through all of this. Through your research and Mona's research and others, you are learning more about the unique health challenges, needs and strengths and tools available to truckers. And that information is so important if we are going to be able to reach them and improve their health and affect the safety of us all. And we also have nurse practitioners out working in the field, doing these interventions, working at truck stops. I just see nurses working throughout this whole continuum of providing care.
I absolutely agree. I think whether we're providing care to truck drivers directly in a truck stop-based clinic or via telehealth, or if we at some point in the future come up with a smart technology that enables us to deliver cognitive therapy or counseling or something to people who are having some type of emotional distress, then I think nurses have a wonderful opportunity to really lead the way in doing interventions with this group.
Thank you, Karen. Advanced practice nurses have a proud tradition of providing care to underserved populations. Wendy Peraca is the owner and founder of Remise Health Solutions in Florida. She's a nurse practitioner with a long history of performing physicals for truck drivers with CDLs or commercial driver's licenses. Wendy, the Department of Transportation requires all truck drivers to undergo a physical at least every 24 months to make sure they are fit to drive. For decades, only physicians could do those exams. How did nurse practitioners get involved?
Actually, became involved back in 1992, and that's when nurse practitioners were allowed to start doing these physicals for truck drivers, CDL drivers. The evolution of them becoming a stronger force, being able to stand toe-to-toe with physicians and doing these exams, really came about in around 2004, 2005, when they were developing the test for certified medical examiners. That actually came into effect in 2014. All medical examiners who are going to perform these examinations have to be trained, certified, and that does encompass nurse practitioners, as we do have very well thought out, educated examinations.
What was the impetus behind that change? where the, I believe it was the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, began requiring certification that medical examiners who performed these DOT exams would have to pass the certification test.
It actually started in 1999. There was a massive bus accident outside of New Orleans, and 22 people were killed in that accident. The bus driver, who did survive it but died 3 months later due to extensive medical problems. When they investigated that crash, one of the main faults that they found was the medical examiner's form and the training and education of medical examiners. That started the whole legal round with Congress that mandated DOT to set up FAMSHA and then to develop new forms and a certification exam for examiners. And it took, I mean, that went into law in 2000, and it took until 2014 for that actually to come to fruition.
You were involved in this process, were you not?
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about your role, how you got involved, and, you know, what your contributions were to this project.
Shortly after opening my own business, and that was back in 2003, I knew that FAMSHA was going to be headed this direction, and it is a significant part of my business, so I felt I needed to really be involved in it.
Explain that acronym for those that don't know. Was it FAMSHA?
Yes, that is the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
I didn't know it was pronounced like that when it was spoken. Got it.
It was responsible for developing the examination and that entire process. So in 2005, I actually joined or was selected to be part of a committee that wrote the test questions for this examination. And then I was used as a test subject several times and even helped recruit others to take the examination and be examiners.
What is the process like for somebody, a nurse practitioner, let's say, who wants to become a certified medical examiner so that they can offer these exams for truck drivers?
The first step is to obtain the training. And FAMSHA does not do that training. It is done by accredited bodies such as the American Association of Nurse Practitioners. They will not even allow you to register on their website until you have that training completed. So that is the first step. Then you go to the website for FAMSHA, for FMSCA, and you register. They verify that you have the authority within your state law to perform physical examinations.
And then obviously you will have to take and pass the certifying exam at some point to be a certified medical examiner and then able to do these examinations that basically allow truckers to continue to do their jobs.
Correct. And you do have up to 3 years to take that examination from the time of your training course.
Okay. My understanding is that prior to the development of the certification program and exam, that there were some significant concerns with the level of the comprehensiveness of some of the exams, perhaps, that were given. Do you have some experience or stories to tell?
That is one of the main reasons that they went this road, and it was being regulated through Congress to DOT. The examiner that did the exam for the accident that I spoke about earlier during the court trial admitted that she did not know anything about the DOT statutes and thought these were just very simple exams, and unfortunately passed this gentleman when he should not have been. I've heard stories from many of my drivers that I do exams on that in the past, they've gone in, their primary might have been doing the exam, have no idea what the statutes are. Take their blood pressure, listen to their heart, and say, okay, you're good, you're alive, you can drive. I've had truckers tell me when they went through schools that a school would hire someone to come in and perform these examinations and basically just filled out the form and never even examined them. So it's really been a travesty, really, what's been done for public safety and for the truck drivers themselves.
We have seen some high-profile train crashes in recent years as well. You mentioned a bus crash kind of led to this discussion and ultimately this change in the regulations. Can nurse practitioners provide the DOT physicals for these transportation workers also?
No, they cannot. The only other entity that they can provide these physicals for are merchant marines. So merchant marine and CDL drivers are all that we're allowed to do at the moment. The train industry and the pilots, that still is very position controlled. Okay. And if you look back through where their rules and regulations, their forms, a lot of it is quite antiquated. And recently DOT put forth for public comments that they were going back over their regulations, and that so felt that a lot of these were outdated. So in 2017, AAMP, American Association of Nurse Practitioners, did put forward a position statement to DOT regarding the qualifications of nurse practitioners to perform these exams.
So there is a possibility, perhaps, that in the future, nurse practitioners will be able to provide physicals and help railway engineers and pilots as they are currently working with truck drivers.
Absolutely. It is a matter of time, and we will continue to work on that and to move forward in Washington to try and obtain that. And AAMP is actively doing that. The crazy thing with some of those examinations is that the Merchant Marines and the CDL examinations, the regulations are very precise. And some of the regulations, for example, the engineers for trains, they only recently had regulations that upgraded their vision requirements. Mm-hmm. So I think the truck drivers went under extra scrutiny because they were the largest entity of fatal crashes within DOT. And hopefully trains and airplanes will follow suit and allow nurse practitioners who do high quality examinations to do what they do best.
The health and well-being of those who operate trucks, planes, and trains is important to us all. It's a matter of public safety. And I would say human decency. These are essential workers who require healthcare services as humans and to do their jobs well.
Absolutely true. Truck drivers, unfortunately, carry a greater risk of obesity, hypertension, diabetes. Over half of them are smokers. It's just their health, the pressures of being on the road with all us four-wheelers, as well as being away from home for great lengths of time. So the stressors are really can be quite intense. And for the truck driver, having these examinations and being able to spend time with a qualified provider who spends time teaching, educating, and helping them to move to a healthier lifestyle is really, really important.
Perhaps someday, nurse practitioners will be able to perform these DOT exams for pilots and railway engineers as well, and work to create healthcare solutions for these essential workers, in addition to truck drivers. This podcast was produced by your host, Jennifer L.W. Fink, and by Charting Nursing's Future, Nicole Fateau, Project Director and Senior Editor. Charting Nursing's Future is a publication of the Future of Nursing Campaign for Action, which is supported by the Robert Wood Johnson and AARP Foundations. To learn more about the campaign or today's topic, visit campaignforaction.org and look for Charting Nursing's Future under the News tab. Many thanks to HealthCetera for hosting this podcast.
This podcast was produced by Jennifer L.W. Fink and by Charting Nursing's Future, Nicole Fateau, Project Director and Senior Editor. Charting Nursing's Future is a publication of the Future of Nursing Campaign for Action, which is supported by the Robert Wood Johnson and AARP Foundations. To learn more about the campaign or today's topic, visit campaignforaction.org.